Welcome to another episode of Joy Units. I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And today I'm going to talk about what I learned from a week in Fiji.
And I'll be talking about the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Fantastic.
Yes. So before we get started, Joe, for those listeners that are new to our podcast, this podcast is all about joy units. So what are joy units? Joy units are the things that give Joe and I joy in our life. They allow us to be entertained, inspired, and to celebrate life. And for us, it's really a slice of life.
It could be an experience as well. It could be, yes, like I'm talking about our week in Fiji. Or it could be, as you say, buying something, whether it be art or music or going to a show. It literally could be anything. It could be anything.
It could be, in Joe's case, retail shopping.
Yes, it could be. Or it could be me finding something at an op shop and loving it, like my brownie badges I'm currently looking
for. And me finding books and comics and just things that interest me that make me happy.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Well, I'll kick off. So what I learned from a week in Fiji. So I have travelled quite a lot all around the world. But for the first time in 2016, when I went to Fiji for the first time, it made a huge impact on me. And I thought I'd share some of the joy moments, joy units that I had there, because I literally arrived at the location, arrived at the airport, an hour's drive to the, it was actually at the Intercontinental in Fiji. Ironically, that's a golf resort. I do not play golf. However, I arrived and was planning on doing some relaxing, spa time, all that sort of thing. So I remember it was quite a stressful time for me at work and life and everything. And I literally arrived at the hotel and these lovely men said, "Bulla," and put a lovely, some, you know, flowers over my neck and shells. And they said, "Bulla, you're home now." And I suddenly felt the sense of not having any stress. It was very noticeable immediately. They said, "Look, your bureau's ready. We're going to take you down there now." And I couldn't believe it. This tiny little golf cart appeared. It was literally like something out of watching Fantasy Island when I was a kid in the 80s. And I jumped on this little buggy and my bag was nowhere to be seen. And I had this amazing trip. I think it was about 15 minutes driving through the grounds, through overgrown lush trees and flowers, and there was fruit dripping off it. And it was just really like being transported back into a movie scene or Fantasy Island. And when I arrived at the bureau where my room was, there was my luggage already there, magically had arrived. And the experience, that was my first sort of experience of, it's a magical place. It's anchored in my mind as a joy unit and somewhere that I feel obviously safe and I didn't have any stress. As I stayed there over the next few days, other things, you know, come to you in terms of island time, Fiji time, which is nothing as in a, everything happens when it's meant to happen. You literally slow down. There is no point in trying to force a rush or rushing. There is literally nowhere to rush to. I could either walk, you know, go for a walk on the beach, go to the beach, go to the pool, go to the spa. I wasn't going to go near the golf course because obviously I don't play golf. So it was a wonderful time of just really slowing down. And that's when you realize sometimes how we, you know, living in city life and lots going on, you do get quite at a frenetic pace to do everything. When I was there, part of that was with work colleagues, and we had a couple, a day or so of things like tribal games and competing against each other, which was very fun, and getting into groups and nominating who was going to be our leader and things like that, and then having to build a raft and float over a stream and things like this, which obviously in my day job I'm not doing that every day, so it was just different tasks. But again, it's all like teamwork, picking then when is our leader. That was the lucky person that got to see if the raft was going to sink or swim, and we pushed them off and they had to go across the river. We also had throughout this lovely, one of the Fijian elders was sort of talking to us and talking about food as wealth, and what you eat is super important, and it's very, you know, important what you eat, what you put in your mouth, and from a health point of view. And everything, really, all the wisdom is, it was very much tied back to nature. And so the slow down what you eat, you know, mentally calm down and everything like that. And then I discovered the spa area, which was my favorite place of the whole trip. And they had these various water rooms. So in Fijian, water is Y, W-A-I. And it's all about wellness. So there was a hot pool, then a freezing cold ice shower, like you've probably seen people that jump in the ice cube tanks. It was something like that, but it was in a glass cubicle. So you were jumping in and out of that with togs on, because you had other folk in the spa with you. And then after that, you had the opportunity to go, and if you wanted to, book in to have a massage. So at that stage, Sean, you and I, we left the, you were with me on that trip.
I was.
And we went to have a massage. So this was something quite, we were full of aches and pains at the time we went in. We had a couple's massage. We jumped on the tables. I remember the two ladies like dinging a bell for us, and we'd booked an hour and a half, and Sean and I were worried that we wouldn't be able to, we were too wriggly, we wouldn't be able to have to call it quits but after 20 minutes. So we get onto the bed, we heard this gonging bell, and then we felt, wake up, we'll hurry up, and we're like, what? And that was an hour and a half just gone, and that was one of the most amazing massages of our lives, wasn't it?
It was, and the thing that I remember, Joe, is being covered in this huge duvet.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it almost felt like I was back in the womb.
Yeah, it was. It was, yes, it was. It was very safe feeling. Lovely. And there was, I don't know, there was smells happening. There was incense and candles. It was magical. It was, again, just magical. And so part of the reason we did this, the massage, couples massage thing, is because one of the key things of the, you know, talking that we'd had before the trip was making time for our relationship, and actually we did that. And then there was at the wellness spa, they just wanted to book us in for more and more couples massages. I can't remember, but I think we had another.
I think we went back almost every day of being there.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Even though we were both asleep at the time, we were still together. Yes. And just the energy of explore, try new things. And we did that. We went around the island. We walked, not the island, sort of the peninsula area that we were on, the estate compound, whatever it's called.
Yeah, it was lovely because there was the river.
Mm-hmm.
So there, some of the burais had a view of the river. Some had a view of the ocean. Mm. And I do remember on the one day it was very windy, but it was amazing. I just loved it. It actually made it feel a lot cooler. Mm.
Yes.
Because it was very hot. It was very humid.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is not an advertisement. I'm not getting paid to say this, but the Intercontinental Fiji, amazing.
Yes.
And they refer to it as a haven of peace and relaxation, and I 100% agree. So when I was over there, I just wrote down day 1 through 7, and this is what I had written down. Day 1, bully your home. Day 2, Fiji time. Day 3, tribal games. Day 4, food is wealth. Day 5, the spa, why wellness, water. Day 6, relationships, make time for them. And day 7, explore. And that's really just what I've shared with you guys now. And
that was your week in Fiji.
Yeah.
Our week in Fiji.
That was.
It was amazing. And we went back a second time because we loved it so much.
We absolutely did.
Yes.
And then we haven't been back since COVID, but we'd love to go back.
We definitely would. We're planning for that.
Yes.
Yes.
So that wraps up. That concludes what I learned from a week in Fiji. Lovely. Other than the fact, no, it should be the last point to return. Talk to me about your...
So, in terms of pop culture, for me, a movie that has influenced me throughout my life from the age of 10,
mm-hmm.
in 1975, I heard about a movie called The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
And what I found out recently is that it's actually a movie, an independent movie that has transcended three genres.
Mm.
So it's considered to be a musical,
yep,
a comedy, and horror. So the movie was produced by Lou Adler and Michael White. It was directed by Jim Sharman, and it was distributed by 20th Century Fox. The screenplay was written by Sharman and an actor called Richard O'Brien, who was also a member of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Richard O'Brien has a connection with New Zealand.
Right.
Richard O'Brien is a British New Zealand actor, writer, musician, and he was born in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, and he immigrated with his family to Tauranga,
mm-hmm,
New Zealand, at the age of 10, and actually grew up on a sheep farm.
Wow.
And the other interesting fact about Richard O'Brien is his character in the movie, he played the character called Riff Raff.
I remember.
Yes. And we have a city, a town, city called Hamilton,
mm-hmm,
and there actually is a statue of Riff Raff, and it says thank you to Richard O'Brien, mm-hmm, for what his contributions have been to the movies and to pop culture.
Great.
So that's an interesting aspect. So the film is based on a 1973 musical stage production. That's how Rocky Horror started out.
So it started off as a musical, became, yes, a film, then became a musical, the version we know. Is that right?
It started as a musical, became a movie, and then continued to be a musical.
Right.
And it's actually the longest running musical, mm-hmm, stage production. It's been going now for nearly 50 years. Okay. So the anniversary, yeah, or actually just over 50 years, because the movie came out in 75, as I said, 1975, and it's coming up for its 50th anniversary this year.
Wow.
I know. Crazy. So the production is a tribute to science fiction and horror B-movies.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have heard they talk about actors being an A-lister and a B-lister.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out the other day that a B-movie is actually, they used to have double features,
mm-hmm,
at the movie house. And the first,
isn't that a lyric from the show?
It's actually the opening song, yeah, is science fiction double feature.
Right.
And a B movie is, yeah, the second movie that is played after the first movie,
mm,
part of the double feature, which is an A movie. So it's a better quality in the sense of the story, potentially, the actors, and they, mm, A rate, B rate.
Right.
Yeah. So what we find is that it pays tribute to the movies from the 1930s through to the 1960s. And what I love is the strong characters, mm, that are within the story. So we meet someone called Dr. Frankenfurter.
Mm-hmm.
He's a transvestite scientist.
That's right.
We meet Brad and Janet, who, mm-hmm, are a pivotal couple in the movie. So there's Janet Weiss,
yeah,
and she's Brad's fiance. They're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet Brad Majors, who's Janet's fiance. Then you've got Riff Raff, who is a hunchbacked handyman and Magenta's brother. And Magenta is a domestic who is Riff Raff's sister.
Right.
Then we meet Columbia. She's a character who is a groupie.
Mm-hmm.
We also meet Dr. Everett V. Scott,
mm-hmm,
who is Frank's rival,
right,
as a scientist. We also meet Eddie, mm-hmm, who actually was played by Meatloaf.
Right.
And he was a former delivery boy and Dr. Frankenfurter's,
mm-hmm,
creation.
Right.
We believe his creation, or he could have been his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Dr. Frankenfurter creates a boyfriend for himself,
right,
that he was going to, he creates Rocky,
mm-hmm,
who is Frank's creation.
Right.
And then, of course, we also have a criminologist who is the narrator,
yeah,
who it's quite interesting because he's actually, he narrates throughout the movie and he's actually, he knows what the end of the story is going to be about.
Oh, right. Yes,
and it's just unfolding as he goes along. And then there's also someone called Betty Munro.
Yes.
Yes. So the plot of the movie is the movie starts out with these luscious red lips against a black background.
It's almost like the Rolling Stones lips.
Yes, similar to the Rolling Stones lips. Who knows which one came first?
Yeah, sure.
And it's actually the lips of the actress who plays Magenta, who is Patricia Quinn, but it's actually Richard O'Brien's voice.
Ah.
So that theme of androgyny comes through the movie the whole time. And that opening scene has a song, which is Science Fiction Double Feature, which you referred to earlier, Jo.
Yes.
And again, it's giving homage to the 1930s and 1960s movies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, are classics, such as The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original Flash Gordon, The Invisible Man, the original King Kong, It Came from Outer Space, Dr. X, Forbidden Planet, Tarantula, Day of the Triffids, Curse of the Demon, and When the Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
So the plot of Rocky Horror is that the story centers around Brad and Janet, a young couple who've just got engaged, and they are driving through a forest late at night. It's raining, the car breaks down, and they see a castle in the distance. They make their way across to the castle. They meet Riff Raff, who sees them at the door. And he says, it's an auspicious time that you've arrived. Dr. Frankenfurter is having a party. And they get administered into this big ballroom with all these, how would we describe them, peculiars.
Mm.
These people that are not straight-laced.
Mm-hmm.
They're not squares like Brad and Janet.
Mm.
They are alternative.
Eccentric
alternatives. And
they could be from outer space.
They could be from outer space, and they actually are from outer space, because we discover that the head of the house is Dr. Frankenfurter, a mad scientist who's creating a living muscle man called Rocky, who was actually based on Charles Atlas.
Right.
And Frank seduces the couple. So he seduces both Brad and Janet and finally reveals that he's actually an alien.
That's right.
He's an alien transvestite from the planet transsexual in the galaxy of Transylvania.
Yeah. I
crazy.
Remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So initially, the movie didn't have a good uptake. It was extremely negative.
Probably in the 70s, it would have been quite different,
It was so out there.
Yeah, I mean,
no one understood it, really. I remember, even in 1975, if I think of when I was 10 years old, the thinkings of some people, I mean, growing up in South Africa, it was very conservative, very Calvinistic, and there's no way that alternative lifestyle or alternative thinking would have been accepted.
Which is a shame, because it should be celebrated and
embraced, yes.
We love this show, Rocky Horror we Show. We do, so
absolutely.
It's our joy unit.
It is our joy unit. But what's interesting is that it starts to pick up a following. It starts to become a cult favorite. And it basically starts to be shown at what are called midnight movie.
Okay.
Becomes a midnight movie when audiences begin to participate and they return to the theater frequently.
Yeah.
And start talking back to the screen, beginning to dress as the characters. And at the same time, fans in costume begin performing alongside the film in what is called the shadow cast.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're miming the actions on the screen above and behind them whilst lip syncing to the characters' lines. So it's a whole interactive experience. And as I said, it's coming up for its 50th year anniversary. And what a lot of people might not know is that O'Brien and who is it again? O'Brien and Sharman actually co-wrote a sequel.
Oh, really?
Which wasn't as successful. It was called Shock Treatment, and that came out in 1981. And O'Brien played the part of Dr. Cosmo McKinley. So in the sequel, which was pretty much on the heels of the Rocky Horror Show, it features all of the characters again from the original film. And it was sort of O'Brien was hoping to reunite the original production team, but unfortunately it just didn't hit the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a sequel, and it actually became more of a standalone feature with a little continuity with the original film.
Right.
So yeah, so that's one of my joys is watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show and singing along, you know.
Yes.
Joe will attest to the fact that on many occasion we'll be driving and I'll just start singing the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So I've seen the movie many times, and I've seen in one of the stage shows, and Sean and I have watched it many times.
We have. I've got the DVD box set of both Shock Treatment and the Rocky Horror Picture Show with all the added features.
So I think that if I said to you, so what is like, if you distill the joy unit for you in it, is it just such a vastly different, it's so different, it's creative on so many levels, it's just great to entertainment.
Well, I just love, there is so many facets to Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's visually, it's a feast to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are really rich and strong. And actually, it's a really good story. And I mean,
the storytelling is great, yeah.
The storytelling is amazing, yeah. Richard O'Brien has written something that essentially hasn't dated, stands the test of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can watch it now and it's still topical.
Yes. And they create, relevant. Of course, because one of the key things I think sometimes with storytelling, and we touched on this, I did last week with Agatha Christie, if you create a world, a universe that is so standalone and separate, so Agatha created these amazing worlds that were separate, may have had real places in the world, but she created these worlds. And they've created this Rocky Horror world that is, you know, like it's a whole wee universe of its own, and you can disappear into it, and it makes perfect sense because they have rules in that world. Mm. But like the comic books, you know, you tell me about that, and the rules and not rules. And
yes, and it's what I love also is that the Rocky Horror was, the movie was parodying sort of the RKO horror movies of the time. But now, of course, is its own cult genre, following, its own culture. Genre in itself.
Why did I have in my mind Return of the Killer Tomatoes? Is that anything to do with that series? Because it came in, I just see that was in 78, so that's actually after.
Yeah.
But you know, when you said... Would have
influenced it. I'm sure that Rocky Horror, if we think, has had huge influences across a number of what are they called, trends. Mm. Apparently, with it, punk hadn't actually come about.
Mm.
Punk came about sort of in the mid to late 70s, and whoever was Sue Blaine, she was the costume designer, and apparently she did no research for her designs and has claimed that her creations for the film directly affected the development of the punk rock fashion.
Right.
So that's amazing. The whole thing of torn stockings, as we see on Frankenfurter.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, that is amazing, yes.
We could talk about punk next time, so, or not another future. Not a bad
idea, Malcolm McLaren.
Well, you go music and I could go fashion, so, because I actually mentioned this afternoon, an awesome makeup look by Pat McGrath, a punk sort of goth look.
Right.
That she's developed.
Save that for another day.
But that's another joy unit.
Exactly.
All right. Well, great. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. And chat next time.
Yes. Have a great day. See Bye. You.